Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And this is episode 91, where we will be talking about the video game Golden Axe. But first, I just finished reading The Fellowship of the Ring for the very first time, and now my wife and I are in the midst of another viewing of the first movie in the series. Are either of you fans of the series?
Absolutely.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of you?
Like, pretty major.
I don't think anyone's not that is.
No, I know,
nerdy.
I know. Well,
I mean, no, I think there's people that are a little indifferent. Or that, like,
it's part of pop culture,
kind of like it, only because
sure.
The movies
or like
were big,
it.
Or yeah, whatever else. But if you haven't read through the books like a couple of times and like thoroughly consumed the movies, you know, like there's fans and there's fans, and I'm a pretty big fan. Though I'm not as big a fan as my wife is. She is voracious. She was counting this week. We were talking about it, and she thinks in her life she's watched the movie series or at least portions of it, literally like 100 times.
That's wonderful.
She went through a season in her life where, like, she would put it on like every single evening.
I'm not that big of a fan.
I've read
the books in middle school, actually, and then clearly the movies are amazing, but I don't revisit them yearly. I watch it if it's on. You know, like it's great.
Kenny, Nolan, out of the three books or movies, it doesn't matter. Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, or Return of the King. Which one is your preference?
I'm going to say movies because it's a different answer otherwise, and I'm going to say Two Towers.
Okay. Nolan?
Love that one. Movies, Return of the King.
Interesting. And I think mine would probably be Fellowship. So,
well, look at us.
Our powers combined.
But I'm reading through them again, watching through them again after I finish each book, so I'll have a better, more informed opinion in the next month or something.
I think book one is my favorite out of all of them.
Can I be sort of hypocritical in appreciating the fact that we've had this conversation and not brought up the Hobbit movies?
You did just
why
now.
Why would we even talk about that?
That's why I said it was hypocritical. Okay, then let's proceed as we should.
Wow.
It's not even
and
a
pretend that never
thing.
Exactly.
All right, final question in our intro, talk about random things section. Who is your favorite of the Nine Walkers? The Nine Walkers, they're also known as the Company of the Ring. They're the Fellowship referenced. It's the Nine crew that, including Frodo, walked with the ring at first.
I'm a Gandalf man.
You look like Gandalf.
Like, I like a lot of them. I really do. But I can't not rep Gandalf. You just
but like
can't.
Who? But right, and he's
great
the greatest in the books, but and then displayed in the movie. Guy, like, yeah, he's
and yeah. Gandalf he's the phenomenal. Gray or Gandalf the White?
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Ah.
Fair. I think mine is kind of predictable, but I really like freaking Legolas.
With the hair, we're not surprised.
With the hair.
And you have elven features, to be fair.
I do. I have the ears. I really do.
You do.
They're kind of
like,
pointy.
You're related.
I can see very far. Actually, I have like terrible vision. Like my wife puts my glasses on and she's like, how do you live? But yeah, I'm always the elf guy in anything.
That's fair. And then I like Strider, or more people know him as Aragorn.
The king.
Spoiler freaking alert.
He's ruined the movies for everyone.
Yeah.
He's cool in the movies, but he's even cooler in the books. He is
absolutely,
absolutely amazing. Could have gone with all of the Nine are incredible. The other hobbits that travel along. You've got the other human, Boromir, who gets a slightly bad rap in the movies.
Love
and
Boromir.
Is a lot more of a solid man in the books. But you should be able to relate with him. I can at least. And then obviously you've got Gimli, the dwarf. And so that's the cast of Nine.
Great.
I could have easily gone so many different routes here. Obviously, I could have done Gimli, dwarf, Gilius route. I could have gone off of you, Kenny, and gone Gandalf, wizard, cast magic, so do our game's protagonists. I could have gone that route. I even thought about doing maybe like the quest for the one ring to rule them all versus the quest for the one axe to save them all. I didn't do any of that.
No, you actually already said the game's name, and so you kind of shot yourself in the foot this time.
I had so many chances and I missed my golden opportunity.
Oh my goodness. Overview. Nolan, next time you see Dustin, you need to channel Legolas a little and put an arrow through his eye socket. That was so terrible.
No, it's not. And can we just... We are almost 100 episodes in. At some point, we're just going to move on after the segue.
That's fair. I'll just accept it.
I don't know if we ever have.
No, unless... if you fully deliver, I'll accept
they're
call- it.
Listen, they're called segues because you get on them, you lean forward, and it takes you to the next place. So let's do that.
But then you look on YouTube... And you see how many like fail compilations there are of segues where they just like go really fast into the wall.
Right, and sometimes it's going to be that, but then you just go right to the next clip, which we're doing now in overview.
So Golden Axe, if you're not familiar, started off as a classic late 80s Sega title that came out originally as an arcade game. And as lots of the popular arcade games then migrated from the arcade universe over to the home console universe and got releases on the early consoles of the time, Sega Genesis, Master System, and then later got to show up in some other things as well because it was pretty popular. Unsurprisingly, with a name like Golden Axe, it is a kind of high fantasy, though in this case, think sort of Conan the Barbarian themed high fantasy, not sort of classic high fantasy, though there's lots of overlap there.
Yeah, and also think like high fantasy.
High fantasy.
Like blazing.
We got it. Like 420 YOLO swagging.
All right, keep going.
I'm glad I didn't know you as a middle schooler, Dustin. That's all I'm saying.
Because I smoked a lot of weed in middle
school. I just feel like I wouldn't have liked you as a teenager.
Don't worry, the feeling's mutual.
No, you wouldn't have hung out with me at all. I was way too nerdy and not cool enough. But I'm glad we're at a better place in our life. So Golden Axe is high fantasy, and it is a arcade-style beat-em-up. Think, you know, run around, hack and slash, side-scroller, a la Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, all those sort of classic Streets of Rage-style video games.
Hey, even in as you're talking about that, like I read a little bit deeper, the idea of these of the creators was to come up with a new take on Double Dragon, which
right,
had come
it was
out the year before, mm-hmm. highly successful.
Right, they were like Double Dragon's a big hit, but so is like some
Streets
of these RPGs
of
and Dragon's yeah. Quest and some of those kind of things. And hey, why don't we just you know let them. Like,
which is a good idea.
Children, that's a great right. way to come up with inspiration, to see what's working yeah. here and what's here and mash it up and, you know, deal with the offspring later. You get this kind of fantastic runaround video game where you get to jump into this fantasy world and kind of fight your way to the end. Beyond that, it's a pretty straightforward game. As we're talking about this game generally, I do want to set up the amazing, amazing villain that they bring to the table here in... Death Adder.
That's so scary.
Somewhat corny of a name, but still,
it's
like
so
Death
corny.
Adder. But here's the thing: as a kid, I didn't know what an adder was, and so. But even if you do, that even adds to. I don't know. I think they did well with it, and it is this ominous. Like, I mean, we talked about Lord of the Rings. Like some of the things in there, Mountain of Doom, is that what the mountain is? I don't know, but like a lot of this fantasy stuff is usually like right in your face.
Fantasy tends towards the cheesy. It tends towards the predictable, which is why when it's not done that way, it's refreshing and nice and
yes.
and rewarding. But this game just leans heavily into it from yeah. like the characters that you're allowed to play to what they're wearing, to, you know, everything. It just sort of goes like, if we're going to be a fantasy game, we are going to be such a fantasy game.
Death Adder is corny and all, but then you find out the lore of the characters and their connection with them. He murdered their families, like mothers, fathers, and
yeah.
siblings. Like, it's kind of dark.
I think it would be fair for us to, in the overview section, to talk about the characters, and then we can talk about how
yeah, that's
they play
fair. They're not specifically in gameplay. Right. I'm always kind of hesitant to jump in too much, but
yeah,
you've
yeah.
got three characters. Dustin, walk us through those, because they're expected, but at least diverse, and it's kind of yeah, fun.
Definitely expected. Slightly different not even play style, but they handle slightly differently, which we can talk
always
about.
Always welcome.
Yeah, always welcome. They could have done a little bit more, but once again, we're not in gameplay. So you've got this battle axe wielding dwarf named Gilius Thunderhead, who's...
I love that you bring him up first.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Nolan commented on it, I commented on it, and then we watched it in the first play. As soon as I saw this character, I knew that Kenny was going to play him. Are we wrong? Sure.
It's not optional. It really isn't.
Like, it's, and in fact, that's why, maybe he was your second. I was expecting in our Lord of the Rings opening for you to talk about Gimli as being your favorite, and he's up there.
If we hadn't been talking favorites, but like... who we're most like, or like what characters we resonate with. You could literally sit here, and I know most of you guys are just listening to this, but if you ever get a chance to see our faces or check us out on, video, hit us up on YouTube, take advantage of those things. Nolan absolutely looks a little bit elven. Dustin, you're just like boringly human. Like, but not like boring, stereotypical.
If we're in middle school, we're not friends, and
I know there is
human.
Infinite shade being thrown here.
He got this new hat, and he's like, oh, man.
Yeah, who is this dude?
I'm feeling sassy today. The big old beard is such a, like, dwarven kind of thing. And so, I'm also not surprised that that's who I chose to play.
And we kind of don't like each other.
Everything we've said is very true. So Gilius's twin brother has been killed by Death Adder, so he's out for revenge. You've got this topless, underwear-wearing, two-handed, broadsword-wielding male barbarian named Axe Battler.
Lame.
Who doesn't battle with an axe. He uses a sword.
Right.
His name is Axe Battler, and then he doesn't have an axe.
Should that's be called true. Axe Sworder.
Yeah. Ouch. No. That is actually an instant. I can't give this game my vote for New Game Plus status if you do something like that.
Because of that choice.
I think his revenge line is slightly different depending on which version of the game you played, but either his friend or his mother was killed by the Death Adder. And then you've got this Amazonian, kind of like typical fantasy, female armor donning, which just means like bra and panties.
Which means bathing suit that somehow protects you from enemy swords.
Right. Yeah.
Instant pick.
Female. And this is Nolan's instant pick. long sword wielding lady named Tyrus Flair. And her,
I prefer Tyrus.
Tyrus. Okay, that's probably more accurate. Her parents were slaughtered by the Death Adder.
Sucks.
And Death Adder's causing a whole bunch of other havoc as well. And you've got to go get the golden axe back from him and save the kingdom, rescue the king and the princess, and ultimately achieve immortality for yourself. You know, typical fantasy stuff.
Gameplay.
I loved that these characters played differently, had different strengths and weaknesses, and different magic. What did you guys think of kind of the variation there? Was there enough of it?
The Mel Barbarian is kind of balanced, and it didn't seem like he was strong on either one. Kind of just a normal reach, normal magic power and ability. Didn't do anything. I think that our axe wielding dwarf had the longest reach by far, which was nice for me, and that's what I enjoyed, because anytime that I would get overwhelmed by enemies, they would work me until I lose a bar of health. Like, it's hard to escape their attacks. I don't
very
after they
punishing.
Start. And so to keep things away from me as much as possible was great. And you know me, I'm also like, I like to conserve any kind of items or magic pots that I get. So if I'm playing the girl who's strong in magic, I don't want to use them because I'm thinking in just a few moments, I would wish that I had my magic abilities, which is not a way to play this because you can get refilled regularly. But so I still liked just the longer reach of the dwarf over those other preferences.
Yeah, I felt the same thing. The axe battler was pretty boring to me. I just prefer Gilius's playstyle. The girl had a really good dash attack, so you, besides just swinging your sword, you also have like little dashes that you can do to like bump enemies off of the almost said vehicles, the animals that they're riding. And that's actually a really useful part of playing this game, at least for me it was, because you can't just sit there and like stay in the corner and swing and expect to make progress. So yeah, Gilius just, he actually felt more well-rounded to me. So
yeah.
But like just having the option, I guess, is good. Like I think they could have done it a little better, but I do like having three different styles of play, like not only just like character models, but like things to consider while playing them.
Yeah, so, where it has an effect on gameplay and it's not just a selection of things, you know.
Let's talk about the attacks, because we've mentioned them in passing just a few times. So for all characters, they work the same, but then there's slight differences. And so from what I gather, you've got jump and you've got attack. Those are your two buttons. Think, once again, this originated in the arcade. So you've got your normal attack, swing, and then you've got jump. Now you can jump first and then slash. So it's a slash while you're in the air, and there's a different animation for that. And I believe probably a different power in the attack as well. You can press both the jump and the attack button at the same time, which is really cool. And it attacks behind you. Different animation for each character. Our dwarf rolls over and then attacks the other side, which is sick.
So cool.
Yeah, it's great.
And useful. Like, you need that in a game where you tend to get surrounded.
You really do.
Turning back and forth and having something where you can cover your six just by hitting the buttons correctly is really beneficial.
Yeah. And then, as Nolan mentioned, which just is a savior and really can be taken advantage of, is the double tap direction to run and then the attack button lunge towards your enemy. And I believe Tyrus,
that dash is huge,
does a jump kick, and
hers is hard to miss. Hers is really good,
like a huge box.
Yeah, her hitbox is great.
But for all of them, it's very, very useful, because every single time if the hit connects, it puts your enemy on their back. So it gives you some time to then run and dash and hit the other person on the other side of the screen.
Right, and moves you away from some kind of threat. Like, I would use it sometimes just to reposition myself on the screen, because this is one of those that if you're not careful about where you're placed on the screen and where enemies are, and we mentioned this, but if you get surrounded, you are going to get punished. So it's as much about sort of thinking ahead and making sure your positioning is as correct as anything else. And so, super simple, two buttons. Three buttons, I guess, technically, because magic.
Yeah.
But they put lots of complexity in there. Combos, you can throw enemies. They use the few buttons that you have very, very well.
And the combo thing took me a while to figure out. I thought it was random at first, because I really was mashing a lot. But it turns out it's actually like distance based, like how far you are away from the enemy, whether you throw them. If you're really close to them, you'll do the throw. If you're kind of close, kick. So there's not a whole lot of strategy in that, unless you're trying to get out of a corner. Maybe the throw would help. So like, I do like the simplicity. There's three buttons to worry about, and then you can kind of just, you know, it's up to the player to how they want to manage it. The problem that I had with the whole system was the hitboxes being atrocious. Unexpectedly bad for this game. And it actually, for Gilius, I didn't really run into it as much, and certainly not on Tyrus's dash. But when you're just swinging the sword with Axe Battler, you're missing. Like, it's bad.
But see, in my opinion, it's not the hitboxes, it's the, you know, in these arcade games where you've got these different lanes,
go up and down,
you've
on
got
this,
these different like dimension of what's above you or north or whatever, and so I think that is hard to gauge, and that's relatively consistent throughout these games for
me, that's the genre, I think
we're on the same plane and we're not, but this one, yeah, it is noticeably more noticeably worse than maybe some of the others.
I that might be what I'm feeling. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, the lanes, whatever, going up and down. But take Streets of Rage, for instance, just that game itself. I don't know. I feel like it just has a better visual representation of how your hits are connecting. And I don't know. I just had a lot of whiffs in this one, and then I'd get punished by just like
dashed out
or something.
That matters. It was nice, though, that you could jump in and just spam buttons if you didn't know what you were doing and do okay, but that there literally were things to learn, and so that you could achieve, if you played this game more, some level of mastery. You know, that you can learn the more difficult moves and enemy placement and really become better at this game. There's some of these games that either, like, you're getting through or you're not, and it's sort of binary, one or the other. This one really felt like something that you could learn to manipulate and learn skills, and it could matter, and I appreciate that.
you're most likely going to be playing this game on a console edition or on the computer at this point. And so with that, you're going to be given a few options when you come into the game. One, first of all, you're set up with a one or two player start, which immediately lets you know, awesome, I can play this with a friend. You know?
Yep, always.
Great idea. And then you've got an arcade option, you've got a beginner option, and you've got a dual option, which... maybe we can do the reverse order here and just kind of walk through this, because we probably spent the most time in arcade, right?
I mean, just played through arcade a couple of times. You know, that was sort of the authentic feel of the game. That's where I lived.
Yeah. So, well, did any of you try dual?
Nope.
I jumped in long enough to kind of see how that worked. Isn't that sort of like waves of enemies, right?
Kind of. I mean, it's one battle at a time, right, but it progressively gets harder or more enemies.
Right.
And I think, and there might be, you know, every few you regain your health, but I think that you carry on your health to the next one, which, so it's like a gauntlet.
So it's like a survival mode, yeah.
And right, was actually pretty cool. I you know, at least wanted to try some of these settings, went and tried dual, and after I had gotten a hang of the game, and then it was kind of fun to see how far into you it get. You could get.
Yeah. No, having another mode like that is always welcome, especially when it's engaging and challenging.
And then I tried beginner after I'd already played the arcade, so I'd already kind of mastered some of the abilities and handling. And beginner is, it's either
it's
some of the intro
same.
Stages. Well, it is, but it stops. It you only play like two stages.
Okay.
And the enemies are easier and die quicker.
Also, I think it doesn't consume all of your magic when you use it. It only consumes like a portion of it, so you can use your magic a lot more frequently.
Yeah. Yeah, but a really cool way for beginners to come in and learn the system without feeling punished.
Yeah, absolutely. Though, you don't need a ton of help here. It's a pretty straightforward game, and it's generous when you start, letting you sort of select your own level of difficulty by choosing your health meter. You can start with the just 3 bars, or you can take 4 bars, or you can take 5 bars, which is a pretty easy way to kind of just say, how challenging do you want this game to be without them having to tweak a lot of other stuff. So I thought that was a simple thing that added a little bit of challenge if you wanted it, and was a good thought.
I actually like that. I think that is a brilliant option to include in a game like this. Instead of just like upping times 10 just the amount of damage you take, or like any of the other numbers behind the scenes, and there's some of that there, but like just being able to say, hey, I want more health, I want to be able to survive longer, is awesome. It's great for new players, and also if you just want to, you know, casually play through one of the character storylines.
Yeah, and I think it works, and it makes the arcade game that we spend the most time playing a lot more fun, because for me, I feel like I'm a broken record on repeat, who's bad at most kinds of games, just especially in playing this in just a few days and wanting to get the fullest gamut of experiences with this, it really, really, really helps to not hit game over, game over, game over, but
it's
to
true.
Have that extended life so that you can get through the game and still have fun doing it and still feel like it's a challenge. I think it's a great way to handle it.
Because even giving continues, and it does give you some, which is a fine way of partially addressing that, because it's that whole you fell off a cliff you didn't know was a cliff, or got surrounded by enemies and just got brutally beaten down kind of vibe, because it's a sort of it's working or it's not mode. If you didn't have that little bit more padding, it would have been a significantly more difficult game to play.
I will add that, well, first of all, I played the Genesis version this week. Is that what you guys played?
Yeah, as well.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. It does a few things different than the arcade. So the look is slightly different. The coloring, I mean, when you think Genesis, you're going to get some of those bright colors. You're going to get some of that slight variation there. But it's still really the same art that is used in the arcade, just a lot brighter, a lot poppier. And then it adds one level and a new ending to the game,
which is super cool. Especially because the game's relatively short, actually. Especially for
being
an arcade
title. Game.
Oh, I know. You want to be able to beat it, but they want to be able to beat it after sucking in as many quarters as they can. And there's a sweet spot there, and I feel like they were a little shorter on the game than is ideal for me. But you don't want it to be impossible.
I was surprised in your first play, Kenny. You actually were approaching the end before it was over, and it was like a 12-15 minute session.
Yeah, I realized that later. If I'd known I was going to get that close, I would have almost tried to have just played through the whole game straight up, and you know, but I needed to learn the game a little better. You know, I wasn't very good at first.
One of the final things I'll note here is that I just thought it was a really cool fantasy setting to traverse, because you start in the village and the things like that where Deathadder and his cronies have attacked, but some really cool fantasy things in that you find yourself at Turtle Village, and at the end of the stage you find out that it was actually the shell of a giant turtle.
Love
and
it.
then that even leads later to a path that is taking you to a castle, which you start to find out throughout that this is something different, and then when you get to the end you see the head of an eagle. You've been on a giant eagle's back the whole time,
and the turtle literally swims like across an ocean, and you're on the back of it, and then you end up on this giant bird that like flies you to the last part of the game, the final castle. And that's just so like massively epic fantasy that you can't not like it, even if it's corny.
And in between stages, you get this map with a little bit of dialogue, but a map that shows you where you're going to next. And those kind of elements in an arcade game where you usually don't get much story, and they could definitely give way too much story, which you can't do in an arcade type game. But in this kind of game where they give some kind of padding, some kind of narrative there, even if it's kind of corny and very typical high fantasy, it adds something that makes it, for me, who's really big on story and doesn't get that much in arcade, it makes me more interested in that.
It didn't have a lot of it, but it kind of sprinkled some on, just, you know, it didn't forget that you wanted some broader setting as you were going in and mashing buttons.
Aged.
Set the scene here when we're talking about the age. So Golden Axe was very early on in the Genesis lifespan. So we all play the Genesis. I'll just keep it in that tone for now. The Genesis came out in 89 in America, and so did this game. So this was actually early on for the Genesis.
And very much feels like a port of an older game. When you see later some of the things that was done with the Genesis, when it was really kind of living up to its potential, I thought this game fell kind of short of that.
Well, I agree and disagree. So Dustin mentioned that you usually get those bright colors popping with the Genesis and that, you know, beautiful backgrounds. Graphics in this were great. I love the detail. However, this was one of the darker looking, at least, Genesis titles. And it kind of just, it added on to that dark fantasy setup that they gave you with Deathadder. I actually thought, and whether that was intentional or not, like you said, they obviously hit a stride, or Sega hit a stride with how they're designing like Sonic the Hedgehog and some of the other bright games. But, you know, being that early on this console, I honestly thought that this was pulled off really well in that aspect.
It fit the tone. I thought they did a good job with the visuals. On the flip side of that coin, though, I had some major beef with some of the stuff they did on the audio front.
Really?
Yeah, some of the like the really annoying death cry screams of dying enemies.
Okay, so you're talking about voice effects.
Not just music, but music and sound effects. The whole package of audio.
See, those are two separate things for me.
Okay, well, let's talk about them separately then first. Let's talk about the sound effects first, because that's what I was hating on mostly.
Listen, those voices are actually imported to the game from movies. Conan the Barbarian.
For real?
Yes, that death scream that sounds like hell is from a movie. It's pixelated from Conan. And like all those like gory movies of the 80s, the designer of the game, the guy... The audio's ripped. You can go watch it on YouTube. It will show you the clip from the game, and it will show you the clip from the movie, and it's the same. That's the best thing ever.
And I bet he never got sued or anything. I miss those days.
That explains a lot of things. So voice effects are absolutely awful with the screams. By the way, when the townspeople or the children are running by, which did you slash at them every single time out of panic?
Oh, yeah. Yes. A whole group of stuff just suddenly running at you. Oh, absolutely.
It reminded me of those police shooter games where you like aren't supposed to shoot the civilians. Uh-huh. I shot them every time.
I wish that there was some kind of animation they added where if you do, that you just lob the head off
game
of
over.
Some young girl
oh,
or something
gosh.
Like that. Yeah. But dark. I mean, these kids are running at you after you just wiped out so many enemies, and you're going to panic attack them every time. But they even have this terrible voice kind of animation. But in my opinion, the music is... Okay. Once again, it's repetitious. That's what you get in arcade, but it's really catchy fantasy music.
For sure. Yeah. I loved it. And the little map in between level screens, I love that little... It's so simple, and it can get annoying because it's very high-pitched. But I love that little chime. And then, like, yeah, I I really did like the music, Kenny. I don't know. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I was definitely more complaining sound effects than I was music. You know,
That's
repetitious,
fair.
Some of the normal things, but it sounded like video game, and it wasn't like they didn't put in any effort. You know, I'd bob my head and kind of get into it. So they did a good job with it.
So in regards to difficulty, because with arcade games, you can get difficulty. With these early console games, you can get difficulty, and you get some difficulty in this game. You really do. But I think that is significantly overcome and completely met head on by adding life, so that in the options menu you can go to 5 instead of 3. I think for me that solved the issue. The game was still hard after I kind of mastered the abilities and knew, you know, how to dodge some, because you can't block, but you can kind of move out of the way some on the planes. It was still hard. I still lost life and died, but I had five health each time instead of 3, and that really just smoothed over that issue that can be typically felt in the age of these games. Mm.
The series as a whole is somewhat of a Frankenstein. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. There are sequels, but then there's like spin-off games. Like Golden Axe Warrior is a spin-off game that is actually a Zelda clone that looks really fun. And I had no clue about it. I don't know if it was released in the U.S. or not. But they just kind of went in like 4 different directions. There's a fighting game called Golden Axe Duel, which I'm assuming they get from that mode that you're talking about, Dustin, that looks kind of bad. And apparently Golden Axe 2 was not released in the U.S., but Golden Axe 3 was really good. So, like, this game, to me, feels like with the best out of the franchise, and I think a lot of people would agree. And we always talk, Kenny, about sequels being,
yeah, I'm always hyped, you know, for sequels, and didn't actually do any research this time, but was still hyped because, and maybe it's just my memory not remembering how bad old graphics were, but I talked in previous episodes about liking, being excited for this game because I'd played it in arcades as a kid. And then this week, when I saw how kind of basic the graphics and gameplay were, I went, oh, maybe I played Golden Axe like 2 or Golden Axe 3. Like, not that this was a bad game, but I was just expecting an even better, even prettier game than what we got.
Well, I think fans were upset with Golden Axe 2 for being Golden Axe 1. They were just, it was the same game.
It just felt
almost
pretty
and
much
like,
the same.
In this case, I want to say that Golden Axe 1 is the one.
Yeah, it may be the iconic title, and I don't know the rest of them well enough to say, but that wouldn't surprise me.
Apparently, Sega didn't really think it was going to be great in the arcade. Turns out, killed. So they ported it to the Mega Drive to try and sell consoles, and I guess it worked. I mean, we have Sonic.
I don't know if they're still going on with the series. The last title came out in 2008, and that was Golden Axe Beast Rider, which featured the return of Tyrus, the girl character in Golden Axe, in the game that we played.
Guys, we fail as podcasters. We didn't even talk about the fact that we get to ride beasts. Pre-Yoshi, one of the coolest things about this game was the fact that you could hop on those animals, hit stuff with your tail, breathe fire from a dragon you just stole from another enemy, and scorch the enemies. And that was a super cool feature of this game that we got to talking about too late. I know it has nothing to do with what you just said, but you said the words Beast Rider, and we screwed up.
Kenny, I didn't talk about it because that dragon that you think is so cool makes the most awful sound when
it's
you
incredible.
Breathe fire.
Oh, the audio is
like
terrible.
My ears.
I'm agreeing with that, but as a like gameplay mechanic, super fun.
I didn't talk about it because as cool as it is to get on a beast, it's the opposite of that, to instantly be kicked off the beast by the characters that are coming to attack
and then they'd
you.
Get
it
on
was
it.
A little frustrating. Like, you'd
every
finally
time.
Steal it, and they'd immediately steal it back.
Yeah. And then you can only steal it a couple times, and then the monster gets smart and runs off the screen.
Yeah.
Animal abuse.
The final shell shock.
So we come to the point in our episode where we either give or withhold our vote for New Game Plus status, which is just our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Do we suggest finding a copy of this game and playing it, or do we say no, play a different old game? I'm actually surprised in our tone so far. I thought we were going to be much more divided over this game, because I think it is probably more so of a divided topic, or not topic, but a divided game type and concept, and so it sounds like we're all going one way, but we might not. So Kenny, you want to start?
Why don't we let Nolan start?
Okay, Kenny, go ahead. Nolan, you can go.
All right. I thought that I had played this game. Maybe I was like Kenny and I played Golden Axe 3. I'm still not sure after playing it this week. So I got access to this game, and I think a lot of people might have had this experience, but Golden Axe, you know what compilation games are? Where it's like a game and you have like three games in it?
Sure. Yeah.
It's like a mega... Okay, so in Europe at least, there was one of those that included Streets of Rage, Golden Axe, and then another one. Obviously, I didn't have that when I was in the States, but I think on a PC compilation thing, I had Golden Axe, maybe with that Shining Force one. And it's as I remembered, it's still fun. It's a great arcade experience on a console. I think that port over, they did it justice, and I think it translated well. And I would give it New Game Plus. I think it was fun, and I love the dwarf enough that I think it should be played. So, and the music's good. Good design, good graphics, and I actually think the sound design of the people screaming is hilarious. So it's not something you should avoid. It's something you should at least listen to.
Cool. One yes, Kenny?
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun talking about this game, but Dustin, I was more in that category that you were afraid we were going to be in. I don't think this game aged super well. I think it was, I can see why it was a super, super popular game at the time, and I did enjoy a lot of playing it this week. Some of the characters are fun, the diversity in characters, having some of those options to, you know, learn your skills and whatever else. But between kind of clunky audio that like interrupts the music and just how much that pulled me out of reality and the kind of repetitive nature of it, and these beat 'em up games really, I feel like, have to just be something exceptional and smooth and top notch to not just feel too old. And we don't mind old games. I play old games all the time, but this one, just to me, something about it didn't age super well. I get that it was a super popular game, and I want to like it a lot, mostly for my man Gilius, because that dwarf is awesome. But it just didn't quite live up to, I don't know, my expectations or something. And I'm going to say no New Game Plus for me.
Interesting. All right, well, it requires 2/3 of our votes to swing one way or the other, and this one's easy for me. I decided this week that with our New Game Plus status, I want to give games a fair shake, but also I don't want to be hesitant anymore, because sometimes we feel like we need to give,
yeah,
you know, because some people like the game, so we don't want to be too harsh.
Yeah, yeah, it, the legacy.
From here on out, if I dislike a game, and even if I hate a game, I'm going to make that abundantly clear. And if I like a game, I'll do that as well. Still, once again, be fair in that, but you can get some kind of whitewashing middle ground stuff from IGN or something, but from us, you're going to get something, shots fired, something something concrete. So for me, I am surprised in playing this week, and honestly think it is one of the classic, perfectly executed arcade games of the late 80s, early 90s. I don't think it's one of the greatest games. I think it's obviously got some flaws, but it's what you want when you go to the arcade with a friend. And I think it is the perfect length. Kenny, you thought it was a little bit short, maybe, but better than being way too long. I think it is the correct level of difficulty, where it's hard, but with the console versions, at least you've got an option to make it a little bit easier. I think you've got a few different character options, which also add a slightly different way that you play the game. So yeah, I do give this my vote for New Game Plus status, which means that's 2 out of 3, and Golden Axe is New Game Plus approved.
I like your thought on that, Dustin, because there have been times when I've been like, well, the legacy is, you know, worth New Game Plus, apparently, you know, clearly if it's being loved, but like, no, I'm with you. I'd rather bash something because I truly hated it than
respect. We gotta be honest. And I think for the most part we do a pretty good job there.
But I can do better. I know me personally. We got some commentary, some thoughts from some of our loyal viewers this week. Jan wrote in and said, "Hi guys, I'm on a holiday right now, but still wanted to add my 2 cents because I played this game multiplayer to the end only a few weeks ago."
Nice.
This is one of my favorite games, and I play it every so often. The first game I played, it was on a, the first time I played it was on a PC. Now I sometimes play it with a mate. Takes about an hour, maybe less to finish the game. It's one of the best multiplayer games on the Mega Drive. And if you play the arcade version on an emulator, you can use an unlimited number of credits. I like the simplicity of the character moves coupled with the ability to weaken bosses by casting magic spells. The game is challenging, but not too challenging. All of this adds up to a great game, and I would definitely give it my vote for New Game Plus. I hope you do too.
Very nice.
We gave it our vote, Jan. Kenny did not, so if you want to email him.
Or hate him forever.
Feel free to do
it. It was a fun game. I'm okay with how it turned out. It's not. I'm not going to give you guys a hard time. Like
you wishy-washy.
Yeah, you wishy-washy.
No, I'm not wishy-washy when I disagree with how wrong you guys are, and sometimes you're wrong.
With your sorting hat and hat. All right. Antonin wrote in, and he said, this game has been such a horribly frustrating experience. Well, you must agree with Kenny. The multi-track arcade-style fighting environment sucked. I could not, at any point, figure out if I was going to actually hit the enemy or not. And most of the time, the answer was not. I found the controls really clunky and the fighting system confusing. Is there a way to block attacks? It didn't seem like it, but the enemies were somehow able to do it. Were there different kinds of attacks? Maybe, but who knows? Just press attack and hope the game lands a good blow on the enemy. I hope you all had a better experience than I did, but honestly, I found this game just a waste of time, and I wish I had not paid to buy it. I liked the graphics, I liked the concept, but hey, everyone on Discord seems to be excited about it, and it's definitely not my cup of tea.
Anton, I think we felt the same about some of those hitbox issues, and I think the answer lies in just spending more time with the game. I really did have to play it a lot this week because I wanted to play all three playthroughs, and I really did get better. I think it's just like a muscle memory type of thing, and you kind of figure out the game, so...
Thanks for your email. And then finally, we got an email from Bill.
I'm not saying it.
Hey, Bill.
I started off as a character I most related to, the big beefy warrior guy. Him and I look very similar.
Oh, gosh.
Not because I'm muscular or attractive, but because I'm tall and white. So we're basically twins. Okay.
That's fair. We'll give
I
it
also
to
have
you.
One more thing in common with him. If I were to battle the forces of evil, I'd likely get the snot beat out of me just as much as him. This game was hard, and without an instruction manual, it took me a while to realize that there were extra moves that you could do. It seemed that easy mode on this game was just dash attacking everything you could, which was a trick I learned back when I played the game in the arcade. I got fed up with the game, and I had Golden Axe 2 and 3 available to me, so I just played those. 2 is garbage. 3 was really good. I'd like you guys to put it on the list if it isn't already. I think you'll enjoy it. I also enjoyed watching Kenny's first play, and I'm glad to see that you're uploading all your episodes on YouTube. Very handy to have those around. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bill. We like that too.
Appreciate the shout out. And definitely we'll add Golden Axe 3 to the Retro Master list.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know you're getting an email from another content creator when he slips in some things that we would love to announce, and he does it for us.
Absolutely. Check out our YouTube. Yeah. You get all the backlogged podcast episodes, and it's a great way to connect with that content or to share it with somebody who wouldn't listen to a podcast normally.
Yeah, for sure. And do subscribe there because we've mentioned the first place several times and they get posted there. So if you want to see those when they go live to get a feel of the game of the week, then that's a great way to do it.
And if you're listening to this audio episode and I've mentioned Kenny's sorting hat that he's wearing right now a few times, you can only imagine that in your head. But if you come on Wednesday to our YouTube channel, you will usually see a VOD of the episode and you will be able to see Kenny's hat in all of its Harry Potter glory.
Yeah.
It is time to randomly select a new old game that we'll be playing for the next 7 days, but it's slightly different this time.
Because this week is... But you don't want me to say it? Dustin looks...
No, I definitely do, just not like that.
Okay. This week is... No, we occasionally like to say a special thank you to our supporters, our patrons, by giving them a little bit of input into what we play, and we call those weeks our Patreon pools, where all of our Patreon supporters who are at a certain level or above get to vote on some games they would like included on a smaller, more select list, which makes the odds of their game go up slightly.
And... it's not slightly at all. This will make their game, like this list is brought down from a couple hundred to it could be up to 30, as we've got 15 or so at that level, but with the duplicates and with some people that just don't check in regularly to add their game, it's even less than that. So we've got a few games on here. We've got like Bionic Commando for the Nintendo. We've got Tetris. We've got Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. And we've got six Toe Jam and Earls.
It got voted for like numerous times.
It did.
I must have missed a conversation in Discord or something. What's all this Toe Jam and Earl love?
Yeah, you missed all of the conversations in Discord. Toe Jam and Earl is something that a patron regularly has put into the patron pool. Like every time we've done a Patreon pool, he's submitted Toe Jam and Earl, and it's never been selected. And he's not in our Discord, so we can't talk about it or laugh about it. So a lot of our viewers, our patrons this week, decided to band together and give one of their submissions as Toe Jam and Earl for this guy that's kind of just on the outskirts.
In honor of our faithful Toe Jam and Earl patron supporter.
If it doesn't get picked, I mean, that's definitely going to hurt this guy.
It is. It's going to be really sad because they can't do it again, right? Unless they band together and they're like, all of our submissions
are
Toe Jam and Earl.
Every vote for Toe Jam and Earl.
One troll is going to put forward like Home Improvement and we're going to play that game instead.
Yeah.
All right. So out of that short, cold list of games, we are going to randomly select what game we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. And it is... a game called Bionic Commando.
Whoa, we struck out?
No, I'm so sorry, man.
Oh man, that's almost tragic.
Bill, though, is jumping for joy at this very moment. Yes. He's freaking out.
So the retro gods do not want us to play Toe Jam and Earl, and I can't quite complain, but I'm sorry. We will play it at some point. Wow. This game was submitted by Bill, who also sent in an email earlier. Guys, this game was originally released with the title Hitler's Resurrection. So you know it's going to be good.
It's
amazing. No. So wait, Hitler's Resurrection?
Yes.
Like he comes back.
So it's going to be fun. It's not Toe Jam and Earl, but it is Bionic
Hitler's
Commando.
Revenge.
Make sure you do meet up with us on social media this week. You can do so at Twitter and Facebook. That's NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure to subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. YouTube.com. And
if
then
you've never heard of it.
It's our new website for videos. You can search for New Game Plus Podcast and you can find us on there. Subscribe. We're trying to build that up right now. We are, as Nolan mentioned earlier, uploading our backlog of episodes. And then every week we add a video episode that is slightly altered and different with a little bit more content than our audio episode that we release regularly. So make sure you find us on there. You can also find our first plays and some other things that are coming up in the very, very near future.
Bradley, Zion, and Gimbarino are our producers for the show, and we would like to give them special thanks because they are working with us weekly to bring this show to light and to make it better. So we thank you guys for your support.
And thank you for all of our other patrons as well for supporting us more than just listening on a regular basis, which is a huge thing. And if you just listen to us, guys, thank you so much for doing that. But for those that go above and beyond to just give a little bit each and every month to support this podcast, we promise we're using it all for the podcast to make it better. We've got some great plans coming around as we near our 100th episode and then into the future from there. You can find out more information about all of that at patreon.com/NGP Podcast. Join us next week as we play Bionic Commando or Hitler's Resurrection. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Gilius.
No, I'm Gilius.
And I'm Gilius, and this has been New Game Plus.